Hey, everybody, and welcome to our week 9 coverage of Big Brother UK here on Reality Wrap Ups. This is Kurt Clark, and with me, as always, is Mallory Beasley. Mallory, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, Kurt. Man, what a crazy week in the Big Brother house this week. We had, you know, magic tricks, gunge, family visits, and then we had a shocking double eviction this week.
I know. I could not believe that Mark went. How about
my
you?
Gosh. Yeah. Shocker.
It's funny that you brought up the magic tricks, because I was like, if I had a power rank, like most exciting to least impactful moments in the house, Ash's magic challenge, like, continually plays at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, that was a thing? Yeah, that was kind of a thing. And I think it kind of happened.
That was kind of also like a couple weeks ago when we completely forgot to talk about his task where he had to be angry with the house guest. Anything he does, it's just no one cares.
Angry Ash.
Yeah,
we had face-to-face noms. We had the power of money. Not everybody seemed too surprised by the fact that there was a double eviction, but pretty much everybody was surprised by the fact that Winston, the Windmeister, ended up not winning and ended up going home.
Oh my gosh. I did not see that one coming at all, and I was completely shocked with the result.
I was also. It's one of those things where I think after the fact there's some pretty straightforward possible explanations for it that I've seen, tossed around on Facebook, on Twitter, and even a little bit on the Saturday post show bit on the psych. But yeah, as of today, we are down to our final six, and on Friday we saw Mystic Mark go home, followed closely on shortly thereafter by everybody's favorite Winston. Well, not everybody's favorite, or else he would have stayed in the house.
Exactly.
So this was the first time that we, I think on this episode or on this series, and for anybody who's new to watching Big Brother UK, the first time we actually saw face-to-face nominations. When you saw that go down, what were you thinking? Like, did you like the concept of face-to-face? Was it, do you find it awkward or just like, eh? Like, what were your thoughts in your first experience of the face-to-face nominations?
It's hard to say. I think I kind of thought meh, just because I like the concept of it. But I think specifically with this season, we didn't get any big shocks with the nominations. You know, everyone had their standard PAV nomination. And then it was just
everyone.
Every single person nominated PAV. That was a bit, it was tough to watch. But yeah, so I like the idea of face-to-face noms. I just thought because PAV was such a scapegoat, then it kind of softened the blow of them a little bit.
Right. I agree. You typically, and lots of times we've seen them happen a bit earlier in the game. And I think, with everybody pretty much saying, well, you know, you're not an original housemate, that was one easy vote for PAV. And then everyone had either one side of the house or other that they could potentially vote for. But yeah, typically you would see it happen potentially like in week 3 or 4 when there's a lot more people in the house, where bonds are still being formed, where they haven't kind of settled down to a nice equilibrium. But even I was looking on Facebook, Benjamin Fowler asked, is it fair to place new people in the game, such as PAV, so late in the game? And I think this is where we saw that potentially just last week and this week really kind of not work out in PAV's favor.
Yeah, I mean, but he's still there, though. That's the thing. He's in the finals, which is no one expected. I'm pretty sure everyone thought he was going to be the first new housemate to leave and be sent packing. But the face-to-face noms actually brought up something that I started to notice and about my own feelings about it. And that is that I'm kind of getting annoyed that Helen has been able to nominate. I never thought about it before the face-to-face, but just watching her nominate people and also be immune from nominations, I guess watching her nominate people face-to-face really hit it home for me. Like, why does she get to nominate people if she's immune every single week? Like, maybe she should have just been exempt from nominating as well. But that's just my own little Helen rant.
Yeah, but at least I think the nice thing about having her nominate is it gets her, like, in potentially more hot water.
Exactly.
I mean, it's an additional vote for her side that can't really be counteracted by her being nominated.
Right.
But if she was in the House and couldn't be evicted and couldn't vote, like, then she would potentially just be completely checked out. I don't know. I think I'm glad that she gets to, only because at least it gives her a role, something to do in the House, other than pretend to trip and fall in the swimming pool 3 weeks ago.
Fair enough. But I still think that she would have very strong opinions on the nominations, even if she didn't get to nominate. But that's very Helen-specific.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we saw up for nomination, we initially had four people. We had Christopher, Mark, Pav, and Winston. In alphabetical order. And later on, through the power of money twist this week, which blew up partway through, we saw that Chris got nominated. And, you know, at that point, the challenge was that they would potentially be able to get up to £10,000 added to the prize fund for that particular part of the challenge if they picked the correct, quote unquote, the right person. So basically, Ashley, Ash, and Chris each had an envelope with a pound amount in it. I think it was 1,000, 5,000, and 10,000.
Yes.
And the nominated housemates picked which of those three would join them, and then they revealed an envelope showing that this much would potentially be added to the prize fund. Now, what I was thinking is I was expecting that they would each draw an envelope, they would reveal the envelope, and then they would have to pick somebody. Because you think if Ash had the £10,000 and Chris had the £1,000, then the four nominated housemates would have a real dilemma.
Definitely. They definitely missed an opportunity to create some more drama with that situation. Yeah, they should have revealed the money amounts prior to nomination, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that was, I think, a missed opportunity. But what it did allow for the nominated housemates basically had said that the only other person who received any votes was Chris. I think Mark was a vote for Chris, or a nomination for Chris. And so, you know, if it had been expanded to a final, a five nominees, then Chris would have been up there anyway. So I think that's why they ended up rationalizing that they could pick Chris, because Chris did receive a nomination.
Right. I was annoyed by that. And Kurt actually emailed me on the Tuesday saying, oh, I'm so happy that Chris wasn't nominated. Yay. And then
but
I said,
you believe it?
Have
can
you seen the Wednesday? Have you seen the Wednesday yet? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because I was worried about Chris going home this week. So that my stomach sank a little when he was nominated. And I have never seen Ash as animated as he was when they found out that Chris had the 10,000 envelope. He was jumping up and down. It was like violent. I've never seen him like this before.
Let's rewind to the beginning of the week. We talked a little bit about the power of money so far. So there were face-to-face nominations, and then shortly after that, they revealed that there would be a potential £25,000. And I apologize if I keep saying dollars. It was just, that's what I was typing at the time, because I don't have the pound symbol on my keyboard. So it was no longer going to be just £100,000, but it could potentially increase by £25,000 during the power of money. And immediately they said the housemates kind of had this pact that whatever that increase amount was, they would split it eight ways. What did you think of that?
Oh my gosh. I think it was Winston's idea, but that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. No, like, no one's going to split their prize money. You can make all the promises you want when you're in the House, but once you get out, like Chris said in the diary room, once you have the money in your bank account and, you know, you realize that you're not going to be spending any time with, say, Helen, you're not going to give the prize money away, and making a pact about it is just really stupid. But it did cause a lot of drama for the rest of the week, which I appreciated.
Yeah, true. I mean, I like the sentiment of splitting the prize money. What I thought was a huge oversight was their thinking that anybody who would just agree to it on the spot with no discussion and, you know, obvious amounts of peer pressure there, it's not going to be stable. Like, I think, like, Winston could have very much easily declared, just like, I don't care what you guys do, but I'm going to, I plan to split this. I think that's fine. But like you said, it did give us some drama later on in the week. But let's talk about the opportunities they had to kind of raise the pot. I thought it was funny that, it was actually kind of scary when they had the whole pick an envelope, add a nominee to the nomination block. That's the angriest I think I've heard the Big Brother voice. It just kind of piped in the house saying, "You know, all housemates gather on the sofas immediately." And they're like, "What?" And I jumped in my seat a little bit because I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, nerve wracking. I can't imagine what it would be like actually being in the house and hearing that.
Yeah, and so they like I said, they got to pick an envelope, and then they picked Chris, and Chris happened to have the £10,000 envelope, and that, you know, pure luck. I don't think that they can't remember if they opened all the envelopes after the fact to verify that, you know, Ashley had the $5,000, or were all of the envelopes $10,000. I think that's something that would have been an interesting dilemma. But yeah, Chris ends up adding $10,000 to the pot, thanks to the envelope, and then they have the opportunity to add another £6,000 to the fund by Christopher and Mark potentially saying no to spending some time with friends or family.
Yes, and Chris as well had his friend Rob there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had the friends and family visits, which was a lot of interference from the outside, which I was a little bit surprised at. I know they get the videos from home, like Stephen had a video from his mother and all that, but to actually sit in a room with one of your friends or one of your family members and have them tell you, no, keep doing your diary room rants because they're hilarious. It's like, whoa, it's a lot of interference. I'm not used to that with Big Brother US.
Yeah, definitely a difference in the Big Brother UK. Yeah. We saw it early in the season when Danielle got to spend some time with her dog.
Yeah.
That was some outside influence, I think. Yeah. but no, you're right. There were some videos from Stephen's mom. Yeah. And definitely part and parcel of the UK experience. And I was a little bit like, okay, Chris is going to do it. My immediate response to anything that Chris does is, will this piss off Helen?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And he actually spent the least amount of time.
He did.
Of the three. He lost about 1,200 pounds. And Christopher went in there to chat with his best friend, Carl. And I think that's when we found out he was going to say no originally. But then Big Brother revealed, well, it's only 20 pounds per second.
Yeah, only 20 pounds per second. No big deal.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And then that was another about 1,600 to 1,700 pounds.
Mm-hmm. He had a nice family visit because I liked that his friend gave him the message from his mom and his aunties to not worry about anything from home. And I think they were referring to his behavior with Mark or him being gay. And I thought that was a really nice thing for Christopher to experience in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know one of his concerns was he hadn't completely come out.
Yeah.
So, and then Mark went in to see he had a kind of a double visit there, his Nan and his cousin.
Of course.
And the first thing Nan says is, don't swear. Stop swearing. And
she was cute. Yeah. I loved Mark's Nan. But Mark, no, he was just completely selfish. He completely drains the pot by staying in the room for the maximum amount of time. He's been annoying me so much lately.
Yeah, I don't know if he realized how much he was actually draining or not.
Yeah.
But he was just like, Chris, when Chris went in, he was like, I only have a few seconds, I just want to talk really briefly and really quickly. And like Chris was expediting the matter.
Yes.
And wasn't like sitting down casually and having a chat as Mark was. And, you know, and one thing that wasn't discussed was, you know, was this something that potentially even led to Mark's eventual eviction this week? I'm sure it didn't help, but it may not have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was like another few drops in the bucket in terms of perception.
Yeah, 100%. Because I know I have been a Mark fan until the last couple, like the last week or two. And this just annoyed me to no end, how selfish he was by staying in the room for so long. I know you want to see your family, but I just...
You've got a week.
Exactly. And yeah. it's Mark, and he didn't even seem to care. Like, he came back downstairs and he was like, oh, sorry, I did that. Oh, I got to talk to my family, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, man, get over it.
You raise an interesting point. Can you pinpoint where it was, do you think, that you, because I know where it is for me. I'm just curious. Do you know where it was for you where you started feeling opposite feelings for Mark?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think, I wish I knew more details, but I think it was when he started his little fling with Christopher. Okay. And then we saw some shades of him going against Christopher, or like being a little bit catty towards him. Okay. I did not appreciate that. But what was your moment?
For me, it was when Ashley was the powerhouse mate and she formed the power alliance with Chris and Mark. And when they ended up nominating Ash, I believe, it kind of came to light, and the nominations were all done, and it came to light that they were the power alliance. Mark immediately went to Helen and was like, some of these decisions are made with, he kind of threw Chris and Ashley under the bus a little bit, saying that these decisions were made without me.
Totally.
At least the early decisions. And so that's when I really started to kind of differ. And I think that was about even the same time that he and Christopher were starting to even be a thing. So,
yeah, that's a really good point that you made. I completely agree. Yeah.
The next opportunity they had was the drinking challenge, where it opens up with a view of the sick bucket.
Oh.
And
why?
Yeah, it's a bring me the bucket. And yeah, they had a chance, it looked like, to add approximately 2,000 pounds there. And they had the chug and go in groups. And Christopher took one for the team. And he only ended up adding 500 pounds. But everyone was like cheering him on. And he ended up, I think, you know, puking all over the place afterwards. But I'm wondering, I how bad was it? And it had to be bad. I like to think that I could pretty much, you know, tackle anything like that. But I think if it was like foul cheese and rotten eggs, like I have no idea what it was.
No, and they did not even. They said it smelled like vomit. I'm pretty sure they said that. And I, oh my gosh, Mark puked just from nicking the straw. And I know that's Mark, but I feel like I would be in the same boat. I really would have a tough time with those gross food challenges or gross drinking challenges. But I loved the backtrack to Christopher's attempt to drink, you know, Hero by Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Perfect. Man, Christopher took one for the team there.
They've really been upping the Mariah Carey this season, thanks to Mark, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think they've had a party or a celebration that hasn't had a Mariah Carey. I remember their Christmas party was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which everybody got excited about except for Kimberly and Steven. and then during, one thing we completely skipped, we can get back to because it wasn't part of the money task, was the strongman challenge.
Yes.
And we saw some Mariah there. We'll revisit that after we get done talking about the power of money. But good, lots of Mariah this season.
And I
think we have Mark Raya to thank for that. and then we had kind of a guess the quote, crack the safe challenge there were seven quotes and you had to guess which house guest said them. And then if they got all seven right, they cracked the safe. And given that all of the people were still in the house and could verify whether or not it was them that said it, didn't make that much of a challenge.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is such a BS task because you could just tell them, oh, I said that.
Yeah.
The, you know, Big Brother just wanted them to amp up the pot so that it would be more dramatic for the next Power of Money dilemma that they had.
Yeah, and that was where all the housemates except Ashley were told that they were brought into the diary room individually, one by one, and they were told that the public chose them to have to face a dilemma where at this point, I think the pot had grown to like 15,500 pounds and they had to, they're given this dilemma of take that 15,000 pounds for themselves or to add it to the 100,000 pound pot for the winner. and they were each faced with this dilemma and had to choose whether or not they would take the pounds, take the money, or keep it and throw it into the overall pot. So seven house guests had to face that. And then at the end of it, Ashley had to guess which three house guests took the money for themselves.
Yes, and she was voted by the public as the best judge of character. So if she guessed right, the pot would actually increase by 25,000 pounds, which is
they would have gotten the whole amount. So yeah. Which basically shows that the games up to this point were a little bit meaningless. but if she guessed wrong, then they lost the entire thing. Yes. And so we saw that everybody chose to keep the money in the pot except for Chris. Oh, and Mark and Ash. But everybody just focused on Chris.
Oh, yeah. Chris definitely bore the brunt of that task for sure. Oh, so frustrating.
Right. And there were lots of questions. I think, like, Christopher raised it in the house, and then it was also raised after the show a bit on the side, is why did Chris get the brunt of the blame and nobody was, you know, throwing shade at Ash and Mark? And you know what? To be completely honest, I think that this is going to sound strange. I think I can understand their reaction toward Chris, because Ash came out and said, I was keeping the money because I trust me to split it. The money would still be split. The Mark basically said the same thing, even though he lied.
Yes.
And then Chris really wasn't that clear about his reasons. He was kind of waffling all over a bit.
Yeah.
But I did like how he said in the diary room, this wouldn't be interesting if I said no, would it?
Yeah, he was waffling, I think, because he was also lying. Like, he had said that he would split the money, like, in kind of in a soft-spoken voice. But yes. I think inside he knew that he was only going to split it with Christopher himself and Ashley. So he kind of – that's why he didn't come out and say specifically that he would have split it with everyone, because I think he probably felt a little bit guilty about saying that.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Yeah.
But I think, and where a lot of the drama came out was going back to the pact.
Yeah.
And not so much that he was going to, that people thought he would go against the pact, but the fact that he, at this point, began to voice that he didn't agree necessarily with the pact. And I think this is where the peer pressure part of it kind of came in a little bit. And I did think that I do think that it was okay for people to say, you know what, I don't think that was cool. But the extent to which they were reacting was, I thought, ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. If you want to see a visual representation of how money and greed affects human beings, look no further than the 10 minutes of video after they lost that money.
Oh,
that was nuts.
And then they got Mark and Christopher fighting. And what I really liked, though, and, you know, potentially part of the reason that Chris stayed, was that this is finally, I think, the first point that we saw Chris to tell Helen to just F off.
Yes.
Like, he literally just, like, you can see he's just, like, fed up with her. And then Winston's mad at Chris. So we haven't seen Winston this mad since Marlon agreed to, you know, hit the button and you know, save himself that week. But it just a whole chain reaction. Ashley ended up actually guessing Ash and Chris, but she guessed that Pav would take it and that Mark wouldn't. And Pav was playing with the group. And what we talked about, Mark said that he was going to keep 5,000 of the 15,500 for himself to open up an eyebrow salon.
Yeah.
And then he'd split the rest of it. But he completely did not mention any of this.
No.
And he got called out for that several times on Bit on the Side, and I think it's been a slow but steady decline for Mark over the past few weeks, and I think that did not help at all. The fact that Chris was getting, you know, ripped on, And Mark did not mention at all the fact that he said he was going to keep some of the, actually going to keep some of the money for himself.
Exactly. And I, like with Marlon's decision, I don't care if people are going to take the money for themselves. Like, if Mark said that he wanted to keep the whole amount, that's fine with me. But it's just the fact that he was, you know, keeping so quiet and, like, lying a little bit about what he said about the money and then letting Chris take all the heat, that just drives me insane.
Yeah, and I think this is where I really like Emma Willis, again, as a host and an interviewer, because she, you know, calls out Mark saying, well, why do you think it was fair for the house to pick on Mark or to pick on Chris when you and Ash both said this? And he goes, yeah, but both Ash and I would have said, you know, said that, that we would have kept the money or that we would have shared the money. And then Emma's like, but you actually said that you would take 5,000 pounds of it for yourself. And then he just got really sheepish and kind of, you know, they realized that everything in the Big Brother house can be shown on TV, gosh, but they don't know what has been shown.
Exactly. I thought that that, I don't know if I'm skipping ahead, but that whole exit interview with Emma was so awkward with Mark. Yeah.
He was looking around for help the entire time.
Oh, for sure. It was the only time that he was really alone on the stage, and he was looking at his family, and he was listening to the boos to kind of figure out what he should say, and Emma called him out, being like, don't look at your family, don't listen, just tell me what you feel. And he really didn't know what to do because he didn't know how to what angle to play up to the cameras. It was very, very telling, that exit interview.
Right. And I think throughout, and then shortly after the interview, and then also a bit on the side, like, you could see them constantly reassuring him that he's okay.
Yeah.
That it's okay. Don't freak out. You're doing fine.
Yeah, like, he had a great montage, like, of his clips, and it kind of, it reminded me of how much he brought to the house, especially early on, and it wouldn't have been the same season without Mark, so I really appreciated the great montage, and he shouldn't feel terrible about his stay in the house, but it's just, in recent weeks, he just plummeted in public opinion, and yeah, he should be rightfully worried, I guess, hearing the boos.
Right, and I think that That one thing we can say that Mark and Winston kind of had in common is they were, and, you know, potentially reasons why they were also evicted was they were pretty one note, both of them. Like, Mark went in and he was very entertaining, but he didn't show necessarily growth, change, that he could roll with the punches and keep on going, because he didn't get punched a whole lot necessarily. And the same with Winston, as Winston was, like, you know, he stood up for, like they said on the side, he was loyal, he was a nice guy, he wasn't a bully, he stood up for people when they needed to stand up for, but he was kind of the nice sidekick that and didn't really grow or do anything or change much in the house.
Yeah, exactly. They were more caricatures rather than characters.
That's a really good point. Yeah. And caricatures have won in the past. I mean, I would say that that last season's winner wasn't necessarily a huge dynamic person who showed a lot of growth in the house. And for people who want to go back and watch it, I won't give spoilers for people who want to actually go back and not know who won. But last season, it was kind of a pretty one note winner, unlike a couple seasons ago. But I thought that that's potentially one of the reasons that both of them are not in the house to be in the final six. I did really like how Christopher stood up for Chris in the backyard and was finally shouting down Helen, was defending Chris, and Helen was shutting up and listening.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. His comment to Helen, he said, are you stupid? That, you know, this has been happening since day one. People try to explain their thought processes and people jump down their throats without allowing them to explain it. And then he had the best line to Mark when he said, trying to get to the end of a sentence with all of you vultures. And I thought, yes, go Christopher.
Yeah. It was pretty epic. it's like, it's the, we thought, like, right around the time of Armageddon that everything was hunky-dory in the house and everyone was getting along. And then we had this huge blow-up. Like, again, Chris finally snaps. I mean, not Christopher. I mean, we talked about Christopher earlier, but, you know, like I said, Chris finally snaps and tells Helen to F off. And and then there was the whole drama about, you know, Chris drunk, talking to Ashley in the kitchen, and Helen eavesdropping from the bathroom, where she catches, like, the final, you know, half to two thirds of the conversation and is really only listening for what she wants to listen for.
Like, oh my gosh, selective hearing to the maximum.
Yeah. And where she, like, they were basically saying that she would, you know, on paper, she's a nightmare. But the whole subtext for the entire conversation was they like her a lot more than they thought that they would.
Yes.
And exactly. that was my interpretation of it. Was that your interpretation?
That was 100% what happened. But of course, Helen needed to be dramatic. And if this week taught me nothing else, it was that leopards don't change their spots. I was warming to Helen for weeks now. And this week totally took her back to absolute zero with me. We saw her nastiness return. And she literally went to Ash and said reported the exact opposite of what Chris and Ashley were saying. And it's just like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? I mean, it's hard to hear people talking about you behind your back, but she didn't get the full story.
Yeah. And like later she actually like, well, finally, I'm going to confront Ashley about it. She confronts Ashley, says like, you know, I'm standing there. I hear you say that I would be that you consider me a nightmare. I go, yeah, I said on paper you would be a nightmare. We've talked about this before. Ashley was so unperturbed by the confrontation, and Helen didn't know how to react, which I thought was pretty epic. And Chris is like telling her, don't apologize because your feelings come out, you know, your real feelings come out when you're drunk, which I don't know necessarily to be true, because for your true feelings to come out when you're drunk, it also has to show that you're a coherent thinker sometimes when you're drunk. So I think it's a nice bumper sticker T-shirt that, you know, when you're drunk, your true feelings come out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if empirically that is a true statement. And he was like, he's like, I want to know or to be able to explain what I said, but I honestly don't remember because I was so drunk.
Yeah.
And I felt for him a little bit there, because I've been there as well.
Right. Yeah, that was a bit awkward when he was drunk and he was telling Helen that she's like the hottest house guest ever. And Ashley just looked so repulsed by his behavior.
Is that why she was upset? Was she upset with him for those statements, do you think? I'm trying to remember because I remember that – or was she just upset from that he kept talking while drunk?
I think it was just probably he's not drunk usually, and so she saw a little bit of obnoxious behavior from him. But also I think it was the fact that he was brown-nosing Helen a little bit while he was drunk, and he doesn't usually do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been kind of saying over the past couple of weeks that he has really grown to like the journey that Helen has gone on. And I think that was something that, you know, I think we all saw that the positive side of that journey a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But like you said, she's definitely kind of back to zero.
For sure. And Chris even said that in the diary room after the Power of Money big blow up. He said, I've lost the respect I've built up and tried to give over the last 9 weeks. And I thought, wow, like that's crazy. It can go back to square one in a day. It's nuts.
I just saw in my notes that you know, there's a point where Ashley does say to Chris, like, basically, as a friend, I'm here to set you right, and you sound like an idiot right now, and you need to rethink this when you're sober.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a verbatim, but that, you know, that was kind of the essence of it, I think what she was saying to him.
Oh my goodness.
And we saw a little again. We saw during the whole mess. We saw, you know, Winston kind of also egging her on to fight about what she heard, and I think maybe that didn't win points with Winston as well. But
no.
Yeah, at the end of the week, we see both Mark and Winston hitting the road, and we had lots of questions on Facebook around why did Winston go? Why did Winston go? I think that was kind of the big question. I think we had many questions there, and on the psych last night, they mentioned tactical voting, and I received a note from the great Tim Lamaster saying, you know, that this kind of shows what Team Ashley and Team Christopher can do if they band together on the outside world. And I really think it was the Irish vote that sent Winston packing. Whether or not it was a distaste for Winston because of his closeness with Helen, or whether or not the Irish were like, we like Chris, we like Christopher, we're okay with Pav, let's vote for Winston, or if it was so legitimately thinking ahead that we don't want Winston in the finals because Winston in the finals means less chance for Ashley and or Christopher to win. But I think it was a concerted voting block to get him out. And the rationale behind that can go, I think, many different ways. And then one of my friends, Katie, had said that, you know, there's kind of three potential voting blocks: people who want Mark out, people who want one of the cool kids out, and people who want one of the non-cool kids out. And because there was only one cool kid nominated, the vote wasn't necessarily split between three ways. Because, I mean, in this case, you're considering Pav to be a non-cool kid with Chris and Christopher. So if you potentially have the Chris, Christopher, and Pav vote being split three ways, but the Winston vote being solid, then that's potentially why he was, you know, he ended up having the numbers to go.
But, exactly. Like, I think most people would have voted for Mark to go and then wouldn't have thought about Winston going. And then all the residual votes from the Get Winston Out campaign by Ashley's team and Christopher's team, that caused Winston to go. But I also think that the thing is, I hated to see him go because I really did think that he deserved to be in the finale. I didn't want him to win, but I thought he deserved to be in the finale. But I understand why he went, and I also think it was a little bit of guilt by association with Helen this week and last week.
Because he didn't do a whole lot. Like, there was a little bit of him yelling at Chris, but it was so late in the week after the voting had happened, I don't think that that was anything that necessarily turned him, gave a 180 on the reaction.
Yeah.
Because you still saw him getting cheers at the eviction. You saw Chris kind of getting mixed but leaning to the side of cheers.
Yeah.
You saw Pav getting mixed but leaning to the side of boos.
Yeah.
You saw Chris, and you saw Christopher and Winston both solidly getting cheers and Mark solidly getting boos.
Yes.
But it's, you can't tell from anything what that means, because you have, it's just the people in the house that are in the audience. And so, yeah, it was, I think we were all, I know that my jaw dropped, and I think you saw my tweet where it was just wow, 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 wow. When that happened.
I think my favorite moment of Winston getting evicted, though, was the fact that Ash and Helen were cackling, like, ha, 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 like, with glee that Winston was getting cheers. And then the next second, Winston was evicted, and they were completely shocked.
Yeah.
I hated to see Winston go, but it was so gratifying to see Helen's face.
Yes. And even everybody in the house, all six of the remaining house guests, were like, "This is a this is a joke. He's sequestered in some room somewhere." Because they've done in prior seasons fake evictions before.
Yeah,
where people get evicted, where the voting public is, who do they want to save, and the people who receive the most votes end up getting put into a secret room for a week and then come back in after having watched stuff on the feeds. And but at the same time, it's like, you know, legitimately, what's the purpose of doing that when you already have the finals?
Yeah.
Like, unless, you know, Helen at one point, I can't remember if it was on Saturday's episode, said, you know, there may be a Wednesday eviction.
Right.
Where literally it's the person who has the least votes to win, or the couple people potentially go on, like, you know, on Wednesday. That's definitely a possibility. And so I guess it could be that, you know, Winston would get a free pass past that. But, you know, taking him out of the house doesn't really, you know, mean anything for that. And we see in Saturday's episode that Ash does get called to the diary room and is basically told by Big Brother that Winston is not coming back, that he is out, that they are the final six. And he seems to believe it because he says, you know, we're wondering if you're lying about this. And Big Brother is not lying. Winston and Mark have both been evicted from the house tonight. It's a double eviction. Winston is no longer in the game. And I think they finally do believe it.
Yeah, because to be fair to the housemates, I wouldn't have believed that Winston was actually evicted if I was in there, just because of the cheers.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad they took Ash aside and kind of told him so that he could relay the message to the rest of the house guests, because I think Winston and Ash were the closest pair, at least of males in the house, and we saw that nice bromance montage after Winston was evicted.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't feel at all sorry for Helen. I did feel a bit bad for Ash. I mean, Ash seemed, apart from the name calling of Jale, and some other stuff in the early weeks, Ash seems like a genuine, nice slash chill person who tends not to rock the boat. I don't think he would have had without the Helen influence there. But at the same time, like you'd point out earlier, it's like we forgot about the Angry Ash challenge. And if you hadn't brought up magic at the beginning, we probably would have forgotten about the semi-pointless Ash's magic show challenge. But yeah, so it's I did feel a little bit bad for him.
Yeah, definitely. I've liked Ash all along. Like, I didn't like the comments to Jale at all, but I think he's been pretty consistent. Like, I feel like maybe outside of the house, I feel like his personality kind of shifts depending on who he spends time with. So, for example, if Helen had been evicted way earlier and he just kind of hung out with Winston and maybe Matthew all summer, he would have been really a pleasant person to watch. But I think it's really just the association with Helen that's kind of made him this, I don't know, lackluster personality.
I agree. No, I agree completely.
Yeah.
One of the other big things we saw this week was at the start of the week, the strongest housemate competition.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it a little bit earlier, but we didn't go into detail. And there were three stages. There was physical strength, emotional strength, and then, I don't know if it was like, strength of being able to guess what your other housemates are going to say about you. I can't remember the exact categories.
Yeah.
So the first competition, they had to hold a what looked like a plastic weight set over their head, yeah. A plastic bar. But I'm guessing it was not a real weight.
No.
While their other two competitors, in this case, sorry, it was Helen and Mark and Winston, in the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, thought Winston had this first one hands down. But you basically got to torture your competitors with, fish and guns.
Fish with teeth.
Fish with teeth.
Oh, my gosh. That would have freaked me out so much.
Oh, it was just nasty.
Oh, God. What's with Big Brother UK and these disgusting challenges? Can't they the creative team needs to come up with something else for this? There's too many.
Are you always the trick? Never watch dinner. Never eat dinner while watching Big Brother UK. I've made that mistake.
Yeah.
I think we saw a 2 second Mark instead of 2 second Steven. Mark lasted about 2 seconds after getting a fish to the face. Winston did pretty well, but Helen ended up actually kicking ass and
she did.
Taking the first part. And then they got their strength of will or strength of emotions. Winston had to not crack a smile or laugh while Bianca emerged stripping from a chicken outfit.
Is Bianca the housemate that has been in the house for the least amount of time but has gotten gained the most from this experience? She is everywhere. She's on Bit on the Side. She's coming back into the house to strip and... it's just nuts. I love it.
Yeah, I think, you know, and Ryan Clark pointed this out a bit on the side, that if she had stayed, I almost wish that I could watch a parallel version of Big Brother UK where Pav left and Bianca stayed.
Oh, man.
Only because I'm wondering completely how things would potentially be different.
Oh, man.
For instance, I think, you know, Pav ended up staying because... like in a later week, because Chris, it would seem like, you know, Chris was kind of not quite bullying is the wrong word, but Chris was treating Pav like Chris had been treated in the early stages of the game. But that wouldn't have been an issue had Bianca been in there. But then what would have happened with Bianca and Winston? And would she have been irritating? Or anyway, that's another parallel universe that some other duo is podcasting about.
Yeah, we need the fan fiction on that one.
And then Helen had to read out social media messages and not get angry. And I think there was another, you know, a leopard doesn't change its spots comment there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that was something that everyone knows that Helen's nasty. A leopard doesn't change its spots. And she looks at the camera and goes, yes, he can. And
oh,
just,
my
she's
gosh.
Like, she's just trying to smile through gritted teeth the entire time. And then we saw what may be one of my favorite moments. It's definitely in my top five moments of the season, is Mark... it has to chop onions without crying. And I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens. And then they start playing I Can't Live with Mariah by Mariah Carey. And I just started laughing my ass off. If anybody, if anybody wants to see a great rendition of I Can't Live, some Google, I think it's Pop Idol Bulgaria. There's a person singing I Can't Live by Mariah Carey. That's just amazing. But this was an awesome moment because the entire house is watching him and laughing and saying that they couldn't do it because this is just such a sad song. And Mark does kind of start like wiping his eyes, but is it from the onions? And then, oh.
Oh my God.
I forwarded this clip out to many friends just saying like how hilarious this was.
I just loved how he was like half-heartedly like singing along with the song and trying to cut the onions with his eyes all squinty. It was so funny.
And I pointed out on Twitter that unlike at least once a week, if not several times a week, I find myself either literally laughing out loud, literally LOLing, or just having this big stupid grin on my face while watching Big Brother UK. And I cannot remember the last time watching Big Brother US that I have just been giddy with laughter, like just laughed at what was going on TV, just finding something so amusing. It's not saying, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Big Brother US, but I like it for a completely different reason. But I have laughed more at Big Brother UK than I think I've ever have at Big Brother US.
100%. I completely agree. And I'm so glad that I've been watching this season because it makes you realize how much Big Brother US has kind of shifted towards only talking about strategy in the edited shows. And it really did a disservice to the show, I think. I love that BBUK focuses on these funny moments and the personalities of the house guests. And yeah, I'm so happy I've watched it.
And it's so jarring for me now to watch Big Brother US when the players are in the diary room narrating what's going on and very obviously talking to the camera and being fed scripted lines. And you don't see that I love watching the conversation between the contestant in the diary room and Big Brother. And as like, so we're still kind of a fly on the wall the entire time. So
I agree. But
like I said, completely. apples and oranges, two different games, and I'll watch them both moving forward.
Yeah, me too.
And then we had what was kind of the mental strength competition where they had to, so they were given like a bunch of high school yearbook classifications, like most loyal and most irritating. And the three contestants had to guess out of their five other housemates how many would write their name down.
Yeah.
And then the other housemates, I think, basically probably wrote their name down first. And then they had to kind of reveal the results. And if you got zero, you won. I mean, that was a point for you. Like, if you guessed zero and got zero, that was actually fine.
Exactly. It's like those Survivor and Big Brother challenges where you have to fill out the little survey and then guess what the group said instead of just what you would say. And I really like those little twists on these types of tasks.
Like, for instance, they guess who is the funniest. And Winston thought that four of the five would guess him. And Helen said, "You're getting a big head." And turned out all five people said Mark.
Yeah.
But then there was like, you kind of saw throughout this competition, almost all three of them, but especially Mark, kind of, and maybe a little bit Helen, kind of slowly spiral into depression in terms of, like who's the biggest game player? And by the end, Mark was like, all five people are going to say it. And he was right. And he was like, "Well, this is great. I got the point, but I'm not happy that all five people said this." And most aggressive, Helen, I think she guessed five. Well, all five people did say Helen. And then she's like, "What?" And then Ash was like, "Helen's about to get aggressive."
He's like, "You're doing it right now." Yeah, completely. She did not come out well during that task, and she was not happy.
No. But then there were also the couple votes where you would have, and I somewhat agree a little bit, that I expected Christopher to not write down Mark's name for a couple things, like biggest game player, or I can't remember if he put him, or most trustworthy. He didn't put Mark's name down, I don't think. But there were, like Christopher did not pick Mark for most loyal or for most trustworthy, and did put him down for biggest game player. And that kicked off a whole round of arguments between Christopher and Mark as well.
Yeah, and The thing is, though, like, in Christopher's defense, yeah, I was a little surprised that he didn't put his name for trustworthy or loyal, because we've seen in the diary room countless times how loyal Christopher is to Mark. But for the game player one, I feel like because they saw the footage or the focus group's opinions about Mark, they all decided to put Mark as the name. And Mark even guessed that 5 out of 5, yeah, including Christopher, would say his name for that category. And yeah, like Christopher said later, the only reason or the only time that Mark actually started getting upset about that fact was after he spoke to Helen about it, and Helen was like, oh, yes, Christopher shouldn't have put you your name for that one, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, completely, completely ridiculous.
I had that in my notes too. I thought that, yeah, was really savvy, where they were in our, it was either the next day or it was, yeah, later that night. And Christopher says, just one second, you didn't get angry with me about the comment. And because I think Mark's point was, why do you want to be friends with the person who's the biggest game player in the house? Why, yeah, are you trying to align yourself with that? And I think with, yeah, Helen had said, you know, Pav is aligning himself with Winston and Christopher's aligning himself with you, because you're both popular players. And Christopher, in the midst of an argument, says, hang on, you didn't start calling me out about being a game player or about my calling you a game player until after you came down from the pod with Helen. Yeah. What did she say to you up there? Because it got you to basically confront me about this. And he was completely spot on, which I thought was so savvy of Christopher.
Definitely. Like, Christopher has been completely savvy this week, including the moment we already mentioned where he was saying, you know, calling Helen out and Mark out in the backyard for, you know, being in the cool kids and not letting people finish their sentence and jumping down people's throats. And I think he's just been spot on this whole week.
Yeah. Agree completely. There were a couple other tasks that I don't know if we did, how much time we want to spend on them. There was the whole wildlife commentator task, which I almost forgot about.
Yeah, the most memorable moment for me for that task was the moment when it was the alpha males, Winston and Ash, versus the beta males, Christopher and Mark, when they were dancing and jumping by the pool. But Christopher actually jumped off the pool chair, and it had more of a spring than he thought, and he just went flying through the air, and it was like the funniest thing I've seen in a long time on the show.
Yeah, and it also did seem like they were trying to kind of get Chris and Ashley to do something that they didn't want to do.
Oh.
Like the licking of the ears and the splashing in the pool.
Hated it.
That was totes awkward.
It was, and I felt like Big Brother was really doing a disservice to Chris for that, because they had already kind of built up this image of him as creepy Chris, and the public was thinking of him that way. And just to continue, like, oh, lick Ashley's ear. I was like, man, really? Like, you're going to go that way? And I really did not appreciate that.
Yeah. And then the other challenge we saw was, I believe, on Friday's, Friday's episode, where it was the proving their value to the outside world, where Christopher and Ashley were guessing whose wardrobe looked cheaper, Ashley's or Mark's. And they had to guess who the public picked for that. And Mark was not happy that they chose him.
No.
Well, there weren't a lot of surprises. I guess, like, who would they pay the most to date, Winston or Ash? And the public selected Ash. That surprised me.
Oh, really? No, that did not surprise me at all. Because Winston has that goofiness about him. But as we've seen on the show, he's quite one-dimensional. And I just, okay. I think Ash is... My sister started watching Big Brother UK the other day, and she texted me and was like, oh my gosh, Ash, he's so handsome. He's so hot. Looks like David Beckham. So I really think
he's
a huge
guy.
Appeal for Ash. Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think if there was anything else that came up. They pitted Helen against Ashley, saying, who would take more money to keep happy, Helen or Ashley? And Helen, of course, got picked, and she's like, okay, whatever. But there weren't a lot of other big things, I think, in that challenge. It was one of those things where it's like the challenge that happens at the very beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And the before the shopping challenge, the multi-day shopping, yeah, challenge. And then the challenge that happens at the very end of the week, after the shopping challenge. I think that the strongest housemate was, I think, a little bit of a difference. But like the wildlife challenge was a bit of a throwaway, I think. And this last one was a little bit of a throwaway. But I think the other big thing we saw was Ash and Winston and Helen breaking into the camera run.
Oh my goodness.
I have not seen this happen on a season before.
That was crazy.
I thought for sure there were going to be bigger ramifications than there were.
I was thinking
like instant eviction or but we saw on Bit on the Side on I think Thursday night, you know, Emma was talking about it, saying, oh, you know, it was a bit of fun, and it's a shame that it would have been nice if it had been something the whole house had a chance to do together, but instead it was those three choosing to do it for themselves or the others choosing not to participate. But so she didn't think it was a huge deal, but where we did see the big deal come in was, excuse me, on Saturday's episode, they punished them. We saw basically on Friday leading up to the eviction. And so they were called immediately into the living room, and the bedroom was immediately shut off. So they were basically stuck with whatever they were wearing. The hot water was turned off. All of rations, they were just basic rations for them to eat. So they basically had, and until further notice. And I know Mark was scared that he was going to have to, you know, be potentially evicted in the clothes he went to sleep in.
Oh my God. Yeah, he was really worried about that. And he was also, another moment from his eviction, if we could just go back for a second, was that Christopher was very upset that Mark was being evicted. And Christopher goes to give Mark a hug, and Mark goes, oh, I don't want you to smear my makeup, and like pushes him away. I was like, what? Come on.
Oh, I missed
so
that.
So vain. And he also was upset during Emma's exit interview because she told him it was a double eviction and that he wouldn't have the night to himself. That's what he said. And I was like, Mark, yeah, get over yourself.
I mean, one thing I would have liked to have seen was like if they had kind of, it was like Mark's reaction to Winston going, like in terms of like it, maybe on Bit on the Side, like if shortly after his interview, if they had like sequestered Mark in like a dressing room or something, and then on Bit on the Side, they bring out who the next evicted housemate was and just seeing Mark's reaction.
Oh man.
I think that was it would have been an interesting thing too, but, I know that Winston had conjectured, you know, that breaking into the camera run and the resulting fights that came out of that in terms of the punishment might have been responsible for him going. But he also acknowledged that was really late in the week and probably wasn't
right.
But, well, so the – go ahead.
I thought that I loved it when they broke into the camera alley. I thought it was so awesome, and it was really a unique moment that we got to see the back – like behind the walls of the house, and I thought it was really badass of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, I was surprised that they weren't more severely punished because Helen actually broke the door handle, I believe.
Yeah.
And
I mean, she was
know.
Like literally breaking and entering. Like she was bashing at
oh,
it.
Oh, literally.
Like, yeah.
And what bothered me the most about this was the day after, like we were talking about, when Big Brother was saying that the whole house would be punished, and they were just, you know, Helen was just cackling away and Winston was giggling, and oh man, that was a huge turnoff for me. I did not appreciate that they were just cackling away as the rest of the house got punished.
Yeah. And we got to see a really irate Ashley in the diary room, basically going off on everybody. Like she like immediately marched up there. It was like, they didn't even say, no, I think Chris went up there first. I was trying to think of the point where Ashley was up there, but
yeah.
Basically, they just wanted an apology. Like, Chris's point in the diary room was, they didn't even say sorry. Like, come on, guys. Like, this, we're not, you know,
yeah,
14 anymore. And, and then Ashley basically says, you didn't, what Helen does say is, I feel guilty. And that's not the same as you feel sorry.
It's really not.
Yeah, you're expressing your emotions as opposed to how you impact those around you. And then Ashley vocalizes, you guys didn't even say you're sorry. Said, don't tell me how to feel. And they just, and Ashley's not getting perturbed or ruffled at all by Helen going after her. You know, Helen has some choice words for Ashley, and Ashley has equally choice words for Helen.
She was badass in the DR.
Yeah.
Before last night's episode or Saturday's episode, I had Christopher at the top of my list. But I think with that DR alone, I think Ashley bumped up to my number one spot. That was awesome.
I think, and we had some questions about this on the Rob Has a Website Facebook page. Somebody was asking, I'm trying to find the question here, basically what our view was on who we were, basically how would we rank the final six in terms of where we think they're going to place. So if we had to do power rankings for the final six, who's going to place where and what?
So this is who our prediction, or is this who we want?
I guess here it is. Sorry, Twitter. Frank Ashton is asking us, what order would you like the six finalists to place in Friday?
So
I guess it's two questions. Yeah. I mean, there is a where would we like them to place, and where do we think they're going to place?
So for me, as I said, Christopher, I'm having a trouble deciding between who I want to win, Christopher or Ashley, because I think right now Ashley is the odds-on favorite to win. I think she has a lot of supporters. She's been voted, you know, one of the most she gets all the task votes for the nice votes, we'll say.
Yeah.
And I just, part of me wants Christopher to win because I think he's a bit more of an underdog than Ashley is, even though Ashley has had a really awesome kind of roller coaster ride throughout the house. And I think she definitely deserves to win. But I'd almost rather see Christopher as this kind of redemption for him in the house. But after the DR about Helen, I think Ashley really bumped up her game and her personality this week. So it's tough to say. What about you?
Yeah. I think I would, in terms of who I would like to win, for number one, I would have Chris, only because I can empathize with him a lot. I mean, I love Ashley. I really like Christopher. I just think it would be nice. I think that Chris has kind of gotten a bad deal at several points in the house, even towards the end, where it does feel a little bit like with the wildlife task that production's even trying to kind of mess with him and how he's perceived a little bit. And so, not that, just because I can empathize with him a lot, I would love it personally if Chris ended up winning somehow.
Yeah.
So it's literally in terms of, do I think it'll happen? No.
Right.
I think there's no chance of it happening. But in terms of what order I'd like them to place, it would be Chris, Ashley, Christopher, Ash, Pav, Helen.
Yep.
I would love Helen to get last place.
Yeah.
And to get her comeuppance. I don't really care for Pav really one way or the other, but I do. I think I care a little bit more for Ash than I do for Pav. And then Ashley's like a close second to Chris.
Yeah, I would put Pav ahead of. Did you put Pav higher than Ash or lower?
Lower. I have him at fifth place.
I think I would put him higher than Ash just because I'm trying to picture myself reacting to if Ash won. And I feel like if Ash won, I'd just be kind of like, meh, like whatever. And I think if Pav won, I'd be like, okay, like that's all right with me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I was going more as like, I don't want either of them to win.
Yeah.
So which would I like to get further?
Right.
In terms of where I think things are going to happen, I agree. I think Ashley is going to win.
Yeah.
I think that Christopher is going to get second.
Yes.
Third. Let's then switch gears. Sixth place, I think it might be Ash, to be completely honest.
I agree, because I've seen a lot of people on Twitter posting their little vote for Helen posters, because they're saying, I'm voting for Helen because the season wouldn't have been what it was and as entertaining as it was without Helen, which I agree, but at the same time, it's not. That's not what determines a winner for me.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I'd say Ash in sixth. Pav in fifth.
Oof.
Yeah, it's for me. It's tight between Chris, Helen, and Pav. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where people are going to fall, if it's to win, you know what? If it's to win, it's a vote to win. So maybe it might be Chris in fifth place. To be honest, then.
Wow.
Because I don't think that it's one of those things where if it was a vote to evict and the last person evicted was standing, he might go higher. But if it's someone actively trying to get him to cross the line, I think it might be Ash in sixth, Chris in fifth, really close, but probably, you know what? Pav in fourth, Helen in third.
Oof.
Christopher in second, and
oh
Ashley
my
in
God.
First.
I think
between Ash, Pav, and Chris, you don't necessarily have a lot of people voting for them to win, but
right.
you do potentially have people voting against other people so that those three could stay. But
yeah, that's a really good point. I would like to think that Chris would get third because he's been my top three housemates the entire time. But I know what you're saying. I don't see a lot of people wanting to vote for him, and I'm seeing a lot of negativity towards him on social media.
Right. It'll be interesting to see where all of that falls. We also had a question on Twitter saying, apologize if I pronounce this wrong, but Holger Kraus asking which evicted housemate should be in the final and why. And we can maybe twist that to which evicted housemate would you like to see be back in the – like if they had brought back somebody to be in the finals out of nowhere, who would you like to see and why?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think there's a recency bias with me. I think, as I mentioned, I would like to see Winston in the final just because he's been such an entertaining housemate. He's been pretty nice the whole way through. You know, he's an original housemate. And I just think he got a bit of a bum deal with his eviction. And I don't want to see him win, but I would have liked to see him in the final group.
Nope, I agree. I think that it was a little bit of – I mean – I have no loyalties towards the Irish contingent voting for. I mean, as much as I want Ashley, as I'm rooting for Ashley to win, I think that Winston did deserve a spot there.
Yeah.
And if it was literally who was not liked, I don't think Winston would have gone. I think it would have been Chris or Pav. But since I like Chris and I like Ashley, or since I like Chris and I like Christopher, I'm glad that Winston went from that purpose. Guillaume Schmidt posts on Facebook, what was your reaction to when Winston got the boot? We've talked about that. Clearly, it's good for the show because it opens the win to more people. And I actually think the opposite. I think
Me
that
too.
With Winston gone, it doesn't open the win for more people. I think it pretty much makes it – I think before it was a race between Christopher –
Ashley and Winston.
And now, for some reason, I think, based on just how Ashley's acted the past few days, I think it's Christopher's maybe fallen to the wayside. I think it's now a lock for Ashley.
Yeah, I completely agree. It would have been so much more interesting if Winston had stayed. Then we would have had a truel between the top three.
It would have been
much more exciting, I think. And I think Winston was a big threat to Ashley, and I think it would have been much more interesting to have them say as the final two, and then it would have been more suspenseful.
Yeah, and I think we've covered a lot of the big questions here in social media.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is the structure of the finale? So do they kind of work their way up the list until there's like a final two or a final three and then they reveal? Or is it more like, okay, we're going to announce the winner out of all the six people or all of the five people?
So from what I have seen in the past, what they will do is they'll go into the final, like the ones I've seen have all been like final fives or sixes. So they'll go in, they'll usually recap, obviously, but the final is going to be on Friday. So they'll recap Thursday's events and there'll probably be some retrospective on the season. But what they'll do is they'll reveal the person with the least votes to win. They'll freeze the voting lines.
Yeah.
Person with the least votes to win is revealed. They'll exit the house, have a mini interview with Emma, and then continue to open up the voting lines. There may be like interview periods to allow like with the friends and family or with former house guests to allow some votes to accrue. Then they'll reveal like the fifth place and the fourth place person. And so they do count down from the bottom. So
right.
People leave the house one by one and get a mini interview.
Okay, I see.
And it looks like that finale is going to indeed be this coming Friday. So we were actually right a few weeks ago when we said that there were 3 weeks left.
Yeah.
And I was wrong last week when I thought there would be potentially we did not see a friends and family nominations.
We did not.
I think this season.
Nope.
That's always been fun in the past. And then it's looking like, so with the finale on the 15th, Friday the 15th, And then from what I've seen is that Celebrity Big Brother UK starts on Monday the 18th. So they've got like a couple days to clean the house up and to change it around a little bit.
They have to get all the gunge out of the backyard grassy areas. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Oh, we forgot about the gunge punishment in the stocks that yeah. Ash. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, to be completely honest.
It gave the like Chris and Christopher and Ashley the chance to kind of say what was on their minds, that the things they had been saying in the diary room.
Yeah, for sure.
So I forgot about that when we talked about the fallout from breaking into the camera run.
But yeah. So yes, Friday.
So we'll be. We'll figure out when we're going to meet to podcast on it. I don't think that Rob will be joining us for the finale, but he has expressed great interest in joining us for the launch night of Celebrity Big Brother UK, and TBD whether that would A, will include Rob, B, if it will be the night of the premiere or if it'll be later on in the week. And then usually that's obviously more of an abbreviated season. It usually lasts anywhere from like 3 to 4 weeks. And you often will see multiple. So that, like, for instance, if they bring people in the house on Monday, you may see an eviction on Thursday and then an eviction on Sunday. So there's usually multiple evictions during the course of the week.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited. And do we have any word about any potential celebrity house guests so far?
They do a really, really good job of keeping that under wraps.
Right.
Every year there are rumors, and they do a much better job of planting false spoilers and keeping the legitimate leads undercover than they do for the U.S. shows.
Right.
The only name I've heard that I have recognized is Gary Busey.
Friend
of Rob Has a Podcast, in terms of the love
of
that
Donald
he gets
Trump?
The love he gets from Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah. There's also, I saw a rumor that Stephanie Pratt, the sister of Spencer Pratt, of Spencer and Heidi, who were on last year, there's a rumor that she might come in. I saw her on, oh my gosh, taking me back. She was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Yes. And she was like a nice foil to Spidey, who was on that show. But she, if Stephanie Pratt does come on, she seems to have her ass together. So she actually seems like a very pleasant person.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've heard a few names thrown around of some British celebrities that I am not familiar with. Odds are, every year there's a rumor that Kathy Griffin's going to be in the house, and every year she denies it, and every year she's correct in denying it, so I doubt that'll happen. But we'll have to wait and see.
We will. Exciting.
So, thank you everybody again for joining us for this episode of BBUK coverage on Reality Wrap-Ups. Again, if you are not subscribing to the iTunes feed of Reality Wrap-Ups, please do so. I believe that Jessica Leese and Mike Bloom are covering both Amazing Race Canada and Amazing Race Australia versus New Zealand. I've been trying to find those to watch on YouTube and have been failing. So obviously, if anybody wants to point me out to those, I will catch up. And also, you have Amy and Haley watching Bachelor Pad on
Bachelor
ABC.
In Paradise.
Oh, sorry, Bachelor in Paradise. Yes,
but it's basically the exact same show, so it's okay.
It's because, I mean, I was a huge fan of Paradise Hotel back in the day, and I know that there's been a lot of comparisons between. So I should have actually latched on to the Paradise phrase. I watched the premiere of that. They podcasted about it, and it was pretty epic in terms of a show. So you can catch both of those, and then also on Reality or Hap-Ups, you occasionally have the Rise and Fall series, where they have covered the rise and fall of Pirate Master and the rise and fall of Kid Nation, kind of going retrospective on some of the one-hit wonders that we have seen in the reality world. So all this and more. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Kurt Clark with 2 C's. And where can people find you, Mallory?
Well, I actually changed my Twitter handle, so it's a little bit more family-friendly. It's all one word, and it's Survivor B. So Survivor
B-E-E. I just noticed that.
Yeah, I changed it, and I'm getting so many more retweets after. As soon as I changed it, I've gotten so many retweets of my stuff, so I think I made a good decision.
So that's at Survivor B.
B-E-E.
B-E-E.
Yep, no underscores. Like a bumblebee.
No underscores, no double underscores.
Nope.
It's much. It's a slightly briefer handle, so
it
you can
is.
Get the characters in.
Streamlined.
Yeah, I just noticed. They literally have the Twitter page open now, and I'm just like putting two and two together. So that's awesome. Well, great. We will be, this will be posted in a bit. And, well, obviously, if you listen to it now, it's already been posted. So, but yeah, we will be back to cover the finale, which happens next Friday. And until then, thank you all for listening and have a great week.
Bye, everybody.